upon us. In the book of St. Luke's Gospel, if you'll turn with me there to the 23rd chapter, I'll begin reading at verse 32. This is concerning the crucifixion of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 32 of the 23rd chapter of the book of St. Luke. The Bible states, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And the Lord will help me for a little while. I want to preach on Jesus' greatest trophy. The greatest trophy of Jesus. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. This generation that we live in today has seen so much fantasy, heard so much make-believe, it's hard for them to relate to reality. But this story that I read to you today is not a fantasy. This did not happen as a drama. It was not a passion play by Mel Gibson. This did not take place on a television screen. This is a real life happening at a place called Calvary on a hill outside Jerusalem. So I want you to come with me this morning in your minds. Three men are being crucified on that hill called Calvary, also called the place of the skull. There are three crosses. A thief is on the left. Another thief is on the right. But on that center cross is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All three men are suffering untold agony, pain. There's mocking, wagging of heads, and reviling and ridiculing, especially the man on the center cross. They were saying, If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. And others were saying, He saved others, but Himself He cannot save. But I'm so glad He did not save Himself. For had He saved Himself, others could not have been saved. But since He did not spare Himself, we can be saved. He trusted in God, others said. Now let God save him. In Matthew 27, you'll find in verse 44 that both thieves mocked Jesus, cast the same into his teeth. But then one had a change of heart. And I know of no other case that will come up to the case of the penitent thief. For there was no other case that looked more hopeless and more desperate than this penitent thief. He hung to a cross by nails, which he would never come down alive. He could not lift a hand. He could not stir a foot. His days were numbered. His hours were numbered. His grave was ready and waiting for him. If there was ever a soul hanging between heaven and hell, this man was hanging there, held only by nails. Should those nails slip, he would be in hell. I might ask you this question: if you're here without the Lord today, what's holding you out of hell? Might be the prayers of a mama, might be the prayers of a grandfather or a pastor, but nails was holding this man out of hell. Listen to me. If there was ever a soul that looked like they could be past the point of redemption, it's this man. Some would say that he was too wicked. Others might say that he waited too late. Some would say it's too late to pray. But wait and let's see the outcome of this scene. For you see, there was no music there. There were no singers there. There were no preachers there. Conditions were not conducive to a revival meeting. This man saw no scepter in the hand of Jesus. He saw no royal robes or diadem on Jesus' head. No. But when he looked at the man on the center cross, he saw a king that had a kingdom. So let me talk to you about him today for just a little while. I want you to look for a moment at this thief's faith. He has great faith. He believed in prayer. He recognized that this dying man had authority calling him Lord. Oh yes, Peter after a divine revelation called him Lord. Thomas after he felt the nail prints in his hands called him Lord. Paul after that bright light struck him down on Damascus Road called him Lord. But this man, when he looked at Jesus, he called him Lord, and he was won by the holiness and the purity and the vital element of all salvation by the cross of Calvary. Now, in my many travels preaching the gospel, I've seen miracles. I've had miracles happen through my weak ministry. I've seen people saved because of miracles. But the greatest, most faithful people that I've ever seen in the ministry was those that were won by the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, if we win men with programs, we've got to keep up those programs to hold them. If we win them with entertainment, we've got to keep entertaining them. If we win them with suppers and dinners, oh yes, we got to keep on feeding them. If you win them with trips, oh yes, to certain places to see and sightsee, you've got to keep all of that up to hold them there. But oh, if they're won by the cross of Calvary, they'll stay steadfast because the cross is unmovable. This man believes that this dying man is a king that's on the center cross. He believes that this man has power to answer prayer. He believes that there is life after death. This thief is a wicked man. A malefactor, which means he was a transgressor of civil law. The Bible calls him a thief. He's a dying man hanging there between heaven and hell. But this thief aligns himself vocally with Jesus. Oh yes, you got to give him credit. This man in front of all of Jesus' accusers, this man takes a vocal stand, and look at the odds that are against him. All the people are mocking Jesus. All of the people were crying out, crucify him. They were defaming and blaspheming his name. His disciples have all forsaken him but John. Yet this thief takes a vocal stand against all the leaders of Israel and against Rome and said, this man has done nothing amiss. We're receiving our just due. He did not try to justify himself. Did not try to make up in words things that he had done wrong. He said, I'm getting on my just due. Then he testifies to the other thief that was ridiculing him and said, don't you fear God? Seeing that we're in the same condemnation, we're receiving what we've got coming. But this man on the center cross, he's done nothing to deserve this. I want you to consider the magnitude of this man's faith. Where did this happen? On Calvary. Oh yes. Oh yes. You see, the disciples had all left. They saw crippled legs healed. They saw the deaf hear. They saw blinded eyes open. They saw the hungry fed. Oh yes, they saw the sea calm. And most of them had seen devils cast out. Some had seen Jesus walk on the water. They had all heard his teachings. Yet they had fled. But this man, as far as we know, had never seen a miracle. Never saw Jesus do any great thing as far as we would consider a miracle. And yet he believed he was a king and had a kingdom and that this would not be the end. But this man would have a kingdom in the future. So he puts all of his faith in the cross. Puts all of his faith in Jesus Christ the Lord. Puts all of his faith in that man on the center cross. And he prays a little 9-word prayer. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a prayer. What a prayer. For he acknowledges him as Lord of Lords. He acknowledges him as the King. He acknowledges the fact that he does have a kingdom. And when Jesus saw his faith and heard that 9-word prayer, he answered him with 9 words and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, hear me today. Go over the whole list from Genesis to Revelation. You will find no other that had these words spoken to them while they were still living that promised them eternal security in paradise. Oh, I know there's preachers that preach that, a lot of them. But no place can you find that in the Bible other than right here. Listen to me. This guy was a thief. Man, he stole things. Maybe like my brother and I, we stole all them watermelons out of the man's field. My dad made us recompense for that by working in his hay fields. But this man was a thief. But listen, he got more with a 9-word prayer than he stole in all of his lifetime. What treasure he got! Eternal life with Jesus Christ on the throne. Listen to me. This thief never was baptized in water. He never belonged to any church group. He belonged to no visible church. He never took the Lord's Supper. Oh, no. He never dropped nothing in the offering plate. Oh, no. Did the thief have works? He had works stronger. His faith was stronger than death. For the Bible tells us, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. The cross is a dividing factor between the lost and the saved. It doesn't matter what religious leaders say. It doesn't matter how many say you've got to do certain things to be saved. Listen to me. I have the right to preach. From this one portion of Scripture, I demand the right to preach that by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Some have come to me and said, Brother Rich, you've been in 26 countries. I have. And I've preached in all those countries the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some have told me you preached all these meetings and all this. Said, man, you got a right to go through those pearly gates. Hear me. I don't smoke. I don't cuss. I don't use tobacco in any form. I don't drink alcohol. I don't have a television. I'm not involved in any kind of entertainment as far as the world is concerned. I know some have computers. That's up to you. I don't even have a computer. I don't have the internet. I'm not on Facebook. Hallelujah. I'm not into any of that. But that's not why I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because one day I saw the King on that throne. I saw the crucified Savior. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And He redeemed my soul from sin. That's why I'm going to heaven. Not because of the things I don't do. It's because what I have done. Say, are you absolutely sure you're going to heaven? I'm absolutely sure if this book is right. My faith is in Jesus. And if I maintain my faith, I'm just as sure to be saved and go to heaven as there is a heaven. Let me hurry on here, and I know you don't want me to preach too long, and Brother Bill, he held it a little long here for me. It's almost noon now. Listen, don't nobody get your eyes over there. I'm not quite through. But what I like about this thief, unlike many others, he never asked for temporary relief. He never asked for anyone other than Jesus to help him. He didn't ask for a pardon. Oh, no. But in the morning, he's on his way to hell. That evening, he's in paradise with Jesus Christ. I just wonder how they felt. Those angels. You know, Jesus did take that thief back to heaven with him. And I'm wondering, when they came back, if they're thinking, who has he got with him? Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or Isaiah, or one of the old prophets of old? No, he's got a thief. Ex-convict. And this ex-convict knows more about the agony of the cross, knows more about salvation than any of our theologians, any of those that write all the books about Calvary and the sufferings of the cross. He knows more about that than anyone else because he hung on that cross himself. Oh yes, he was crucified with Christ. And that's what God demands out of you and I. Paul said, nevertheless, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life that I now live in the Son of God, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thank God for the cross of Calvary. Thank God for salvation. I wonder when they checked into paradise, you know, that's when Jesus changed paradise, you know that, and went into the presence of the Father in heaven. Souls at that time, when they died, they went into Abraham's bosom called paradise. But when Jesus descended into the lower parts of the earth with his thief, I wonder if he told him, Brother Kyle, as he checked in, say, you got some people here like Abraham and Isaac. They've been here a long time. But me and this fellow here are just checking in for 3 days. Just 3 days only, and we're coming out of here. Amen. We're checking in for 3 days, and we're out of here. Listen to me. Whenever he ascended on high, before he ascended, he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. And that's when he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That was when the spirit of just men were made perfect. Oh, yes. And that thief is in heaven today, somewhere with Jesus in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. And he's saved. You say, you think the thief is saved? Sure he's saved. He was saved. Not only was he saved, but hear me, don't disagree with me unless you can prove me wrong or right, but he will be in the bride of Christ. I mean, you knew that. Oh, yes, he will be in the bride of Christ. This man, I believe, will be served at the marriage supper of the Lamb first. For he has a right to partake of the communion, for he was the first believer. after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. For my Bible says in Hebrews 9:16, for where a testimony is, there it must also of a necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead. No strength at all while the testator liveth. Jesus died before this thief died, according to John 19:31, and Pilate marveled that Jesus was already dead. This thief was the first man to come under the new covenant, even though he was a thief. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what your condition is with Christ, but I offer you hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. I've seen him come in bound and shackled by the chains of sin. I've seen him come into the services on alcohol and drugs and all kinds of sins. But I offer you the same cross that Jesus died upon this morning. Oh yes, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but unto us which have believed, it is the power of God. I'm so glad for the cross. The cross still stands, regardless of what religions come along. I don't care. Our president said some time ago that he wasn't a firm believer in the resurrection. It doesn't matter whether he believes in the resurrection or not. Jesus died and was buried according to the Scriptures and arose according to the Scriptures. And he's seated at the right hand of God the Father to make intercessions for us. And Paul, he cursed any other religion besides the religion of the cross. He said, if we are an angel from heaven, come preaching any other way, let him be accursed. We've got to hold on to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold the cross up. I've preached about Jesus in nearly every place I've been. I've preached about Jesus. But hear me, when you leave Christ out of Christianity, then that makes Obama's statement correct. He said that no, in his inauguration speech, that no longer was America a Christian nation. When you leave Christ out, it is not a Christian nation. But oh, thank God there's some of us that still love him. There's still some believers here. There's still some of us that have denied our pride and bowed down at the foot of the cross. My brother on his dying bed, you knew Bill, didn't you? On his dying bed, he said, Don, put your hand on my heart. I did. And I held it there and I said, what is it? He's come over closer and he put his hand on my heart. He said, promise me that you'll never quit preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Promise me from your heart to my heart that you'll keep on telling people that the blood of Jesus really cleanses from sin. Well, I'm doing that today. I'm telling you, it cleanses from all sin. I know some think that people get too wild and too bad. Boy, I've seen some wild ones saved, haven't you, Brother Bill? Man, I've seen some wild ones. I remember we was having church one night in Kansas City. Here comes a man in. He didn't even look like he would ever fit into the church. I mean, he came in with a woman I thought was his wife. Found out later it wasn't his wife. They're like a lot of others today. They was in an illegal relationship against God's word. Yeah, the Bible's still against fornication and adultery. And he was in that case, and he come and I listened to me preach, and he come to the altar. Old Larry Briscoe was his name. He prayed a good while. This lady he was with was so ill clad that the ladies, when she knelt, had to cover up to hide her nakedness. But I'd still cover some up if they wanted to repent. Oh yes, yes sir. You can't just quit because people are not dressed like we want them to be dressed. We got to keep on preaching and telling the story. Old Larry prayed, maybe 20 minutes, shed some tears, got up from the altar. I thought, well, just another guy passing through this church, because we had a lot of people pass through there, Brother Peach. I handed him one of my cards. He said, I'm going. I handed him one of my cards, and this lady, she got up and followed him out. The next morning, before I ever got out of bed, I get a call, and this man said, I'm Larry Briscoe. I knelt at your altar last night. I was the one that took your little card. I've got your number here. He said, this is the first morning in 12 years I've got up not wanting a drink of alcohol. First time in 12 years of alcoholism. And he said, I just poured it all down the stool. I said, where you at? He told me he's down in the slums. I mean in the slums of Kansas City. And I went down to where they lived. It's almost, I don't even want to describe it. It's so terrible where they lived, and the stench and everything. But when I saw this strange light on old Larry's face, man, it just seemed to change everything for me. And he said, God did something for me. I said, what about your wife? He said, she's not my wife. We're just talking about that. And I was explaining to her, we can't go on living like this since Jesus came into my heart. Oh, that's salvation, brother. I said, that's salvation. Well, we kept working with them. They separated for a while, and they kept coming to church. She finally prayed through. Found out neither one had ever been married before. I don't know why I'm telling this, but God knows. Found out neither one had ever been married before. They said they love one another. And I performed a wedding ceremony. Oh, yes. And God put them together rightfully. I said, the right way. Oh, yes. I was amazed when he told me, he said, I haven't worked on a steady job in over 10 years. And said, I got me a steady job now. And I'm working. I'm so happy. I'm taking care of myself. And now he's got his wife taking care of her. And he come one night and he said, Brother Rich, said, I know your high standards here. And said, I don't come, because I didn't let no one on the platform that wasn't dressed right. Oh, yeah. But he said, I know your high standards here, and I'm not, I don't come up to those standards yet, but I'm trying to get there. But he said, I really would like to sing a song. He said, will you let me sing a song tonight? I said, well, Larry, have you truly repented? He said, yes. I said, you know your name's in the book of life. Oh, yes, I know my name's in the book of life. I said, yeah, you can sing a song. Just stand right down here and sing. He got up and started singing a song I'm not crazy about, but he sang a song like a bridge over troubled waters. When he got through singing, there was not a dry eye in the house. Man, he could sing. And he sang that song for the glory of God and uplifted the power of the cross. He become a living testimony of what the cross can do. Just one look at the cross, like that brazen serpent on the pole. One look, and salvation came. Oh, I know there's some that, and I believe in people praying until they get salvation. It doesn't matter how long it takes. But we was preaching revival one place, Sister Rich and I, and this man didn't believe that you could get saved in one trip to the altar. He said, I had to come to the altar 6 nights and 2 Sundays. And said, I finally got through. So he believed everybody else had to come 6 times and 2 Sundays to get saved. Well, let me tell you something. I believe that when you see that crucified Savior, and you see His vicarious suffering, that He was dying for you. When you see that it was not just for certain people, but it's for you as a sinner. When you realize that the vicarious suffering, when He took your place, was for you. And the moment you believe, I believe you can be saved. I believe some get saved, Brother Bill, on their way to the altar. as they accept the Lord as their Savior and their Lord. For it doesn't take the Lord a long time to save. This text that I preached today, 9 words. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now don't forget there was another thief. He never prayed that prayer. He never believed in that cross. And old brother Addis was preaching, and he said, some of you are going to wait, say you're going to get saved like the thief. He said, no, that thief was a dying thief, and said, you're a living thief. Well, he's right. But listen to me. This other thief, as far as we know, never did believe. But the only thing that put the thief that I'm preaching about today in heaven, nothing else but faith in that cross. And I was preaching for Brother Winford King, the camp meeting, same time he was preaching in Bristol. And God dealt with me to start preaching more about the cross, to lift the cross up higher. Oh, to lift it up to a lost and dying world. And I've been doing some of that, more of that. Hear me today. Our faith must be rooted and grounded in the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Oh, we cannot have a faith that does not include the suffering of Christ. Oh, and a faith that does not include the blood of Jesus. We have to have the blood. It doesn't matter who ridicules you. Tell them, I'm saved by faith in the cross. Say, well, I dropped a $100 bill in the offering the other day. Yeah, you'll be lost and go to hell if you're trusting in that $100 bill you dropped in the offering. Oh, yes, you'll be lost if you trust in all you've given to charity. That's all of that's well and good, but none of that will save you. None of it will save you. Only when you're willing to humble yourself down at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I accept you as my Savior. I believe you died for my sins. And you're going to feel the joy come in. As I close tonight, I'll tell you about one more man. Brother Eddie Peach used to come up in Kansas City a lot. He knows I preach on the radio every day. I was preaching on the radio. Well, I hadn't planned on preaching this text, Brother Bill. I think it's in the 107th Psalm. But Sister Rich and I have been visiting a lady that lost her husband, and we'd just come back, and I preached. I had 3 ways I could preach: at the station or on tape or direct from a pulpit. Just plug in with the phone company. So I was running late and just barely got there just a little bit before my program was supposed to come on back to the church. And started going through notes. Why am I going to preach? Looking through some stuff I preached before. And all of a sudden, it just seemed like the psalm opened up to me. It says, I watch, and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. It seemed like the Holy Ghost said, preach about that sparrow. And I said, I don't know nothing about that sparrow to myself. You know anybody beside me ever talk to yourself? Well, I said, I don't know nothing about that sparrow. And I had a little transistor radio, and when I looked up, they were playing my theme song. And the announcement says, time for Brother Don Rich, the holiness preacher. And before I realized what I'd done, I'd read that text, and I said, I'm preaching about a sparrow alone on the housetop. I just thought I didn't know nothing about sparrows. When I got started preaching, I found out that I knew more than what I thought. That not one sparrow falleth to the ground without the Heavenly Father. And He said, you're of more value than many sparrows. And I was surprised at all the things that I talked about sparrows. What I did not know, driving across the outskirts of Kansas City, was a man with a loaded pistol on his seat of the car. He'd already left his note to his family that he was taking his own life. And he said, he called me like 2 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it? Way in the morning he called me. He said, I just thought I'd call you. Said I found out by going through the station who you was, and said I got your number, and said you saved my life today. I said I didn't save nobody's life. He said, yes, you did. You saved mine. I said, are you the man that preached about a sparrow alone on the housetop? I said, yes, I am. And he said, that's the way I felt, that nobody cared. I was just like a little sparrow alone on the housetop. And you begin to preach about Jesus dying on the cross for me. Said, you told me that Jesus died for me. And wherever I was at, if I would pray that prayer with you, the Lord would save me and deliver me. So I started praying on the airwaves. I didn't know he's out there. I just prayed that same prayer, something like that, about every time I went off the air for sinners. But he was out there and prayed that prayer. Like them thief, God saved him. He come to our church and gave the testimony of how his life was spared, how him and his wife was reunited, all because of that cross. If you're here today and you're not saved, I do not offer you a lot of fancy words. When you get Brother Rich, you don't get polish. When you get me, you don't get a lot of fancy stuff. But I'm giving you the gospel this morning. If you're not a Christian, Jesus will save you. The cross is still there. Would you stand with me, please, to your feet? Sister Judy, come on. I'm wondering if there's one anywhere. You'd say, Brother Rich, I'm not saved. I'm not living for the Lord. But I do believe the message of the cross. And I want to accept the Lord today as my Savior. Would you lift your hand quickly in the name of Jesus? Raise that hand and say, Brother Rich, pray for me. I need to come to Jesus Christ. Anyone lift that hand? If you're a backslider, He'll take you back. If you'll return to Him. He said that in His Word, return unto me, and I will return unto thee. If you're here today, you're wondering about the long, dreary days ahead. You ought to take Jesus with you everywhere you go. I wonder if there'll be one, say, preacher man, I need help today. Remember me in prayer. Raise that hand quickly right now in Jesus' name. While God speaks to your heart, while God talks to your soul, yeah, you can run from the voice of God, but you can't hide from the voice of God. He'll find you wherever you're at. And He'll keep talking, trying to get you to surrender. Is there anyone? Say, preacher man, pray for me. I need Jesus. Lord, I preached the little message you laid on my heart last night to preach today. I lifted up your name in the cross of Calvary. You promised in your word, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. I know you're drawing right here today. Somebody's not saved. Somebody's not living for the Lord. You want to come to Jesus Christ. Are you interested enough just to put one hand up and say, pray for me, preacher? Pray for me, preacher. I invite everyone that will to come in with us around the altars. Ask for a new glimpse of the cross of Calvary. Ask God to show you once again the suffering that took place. Hallelujah. Come on with me this morning.